In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When some people's pain and suffering completely overwhelms them, they can feel that God is far away from them, or even that God does not exist. I found in my ministry over the years that those who live rough and are isolated on our streets, that suffer from chronic health issues or mental illness, or deeply grieve the death of a loved one, that isolation, detachment, and loneliness are common factors. Loneliness is becoming a major health issue, an epidemic in the Western countries, because it leads to mental health deterioration and depression. It has become of such great concern in Great Britain that the British government now has a special ministry for loneliness to tackle what they see as this big crisis. The crisis of modern-day loneliness has its root in our disconnectedness from family and from society. The thrust of the British government's attempts to address loneliness is what they call social prescribing, where primary physicians match up patients with the various social activities that fit their interests and their capacity. Loneliness has been proven to be detrimental to our human health, with increased rates of obesity and smoking, depression, heart disease, and stroke. So the community cost of loneliness is extraordinarily high. Our country isn't immune from this particular crisis in the world, but I never hear our government talking about it. Maybe this is where the public support for government intervention in community health falters. If loneliness has such a high social cost, it must be damaging the nation, both socially and economically. An innate part of our human creation is our need for social connection, whether it's through the family unit or through community generally. Since the first communities came into being, we know through anthropological studies that social connectedness to family and the spirit world was the basis of community life. Almost all Indigenous cultures developed ways of connecting with each other and with the spirit world. Our scriptures record the efforts of God to connect with God's creation, our human selves. First, God created a mate for Adam because God didn't want him to be lonely. God then connected with Abraham by making him aware of God's presence and helping him to be open to hearing God call him. Moses then saw the manifestation of God first in the burning bush, and then in the cloud and in the tablets inscribed with the law. Finally, God led Moses and the Israelites away from slavery, using a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night to guide them. God raised up kings at the insistence of the Israelites who wanted monarchical leadership like everyone else. And then God rose up prophets to proclaim God's desire for a just society and to announce the herald of the new Messiah. Jesus was then born for us. And finally, God sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and to be with us at all times. God constantly tried to encourage people to turn away from idol worship toward the one true God upon whom the future of the world rested. But people seemed to prefer the immediate, tangible presence of a carved or cast image of a supposed sacred God. Belief in a spirit God seemed for most people more difficult, despite the revelation of God in also many ways. Many people didn't want to live their lives hearing the message that God through the prophets brought. The powerful few with resources often garnered unfairly from others, rose up to put their faith in Baal and other earthly gods like money and power, rather than the living God who encouraged justice, mercy, and love amongst families and communities. It is to these people that Jeremiah speaks to in the passage we heard this morning. Those that turn from God will suffer and be cursed. He compares them to a desert shrub that tries to survive in the harshest of places, often missing out on the small, pitiful amount of rain that falls periodically in the desert. By comparison, Jeremiah says that those that put their trust in the Lord, and indeed who see trust as the Lord, shall be like shrubs that are planted near the stream, that are able to put down deep roots into the moist ground to feed and to be strongly anchored. When the heat of life comes, the shrub will not need to fear, because it will be strong. And when the drought comes, it will not need to be anxious, because it is being fed from below. God knows only too well that we are led by our hearts to places of immediate satisfaction, putting aside the wisdom of knowing that we risk being blown about by the wind or starved by a drought. The life of following the living God is no guarantee of immediate relief from suffering, but it does result in developing the capability to be able to sustain oneself in life. As humans, we continue to struggle against the desires of our hearts for immediate satisfaction and for relief from the powerful forces at work in our daily lives. The evolution of social media has changed the way a lot of people relate to each other in the world. Social media companies are now some of the largest companies in the world, attesting to the way people have connected with each other and the ad revenue that is derived from those connections. Over this past year or so, as I've spent more and more time on my favourite, Instagram, I've been drawn into so many people's lives that I have known nothing about. I would never meet these people in the ordinary course of my life, let alone have access to their private and intimate details. But I've also become really curious about what is known as social influencers. These are people who attract enough followers that commercial enterprises will sponsor them and provide them with free merchandise and maybe vacations or other income. And I was amazed that the number one influencer on Instagram is a woman called Huda Khitan, a beauty influencer, with some 24 million followers, which just happens to be the population of Australia. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with Instagram or Facebook or any number of other social media platforms, as long as the follower is sufficiently grounded in their lives so as not to be drawn fully into an online life, forsaking the real world for access to the lives of online personalities. Many influencers report themselves that they often lead lonely lives because they have forsaken immediate physical relationships for the online world. It is their followers that they need to satisfy with endless content. Otherwise, they lose their influence and maybe their livelihood for some meaning. We are reminded often in Scripture of the consequences of putting our faith in mere mortals ahead of the living God, as Jeremiah says. When we feel God is far from us or non-existent to us, we can succumb to a misplaced form of human connection like that exists in an online world. God is, in fact, closer to all of us than we can ever imagine. We just need to open our hearts to trust that the Lord is there for us. In the gospel passage that you heard this morning, Jesus expounds on this concept when he outlines for the disciples a series of blessings and woes. To be poor, to be depressed, hated or excluded, reviled or defamed, is not a nice place to be in. We all suffer when we experience these types of feelings or situations. To suffer without knowing God is close by raises fear and anxiety to a level that is almost too much to bear. And for some, it is too much to bear. To suffer these same feelings knowing God is with us helps us sustain us through the time of trial. Even the wealthy suffer loneliness, and those that have everything feel hungry for meaning, and those that appear always happy and blessed might indeed mourn and weep and experience loneliness behind the camera lens. For me, Jesus is the real influencer. And we are his followers, millions of us. The spiritual life calls us into what requires us a change of heart, a conversion, if you will. Spiritual writer Henry Nouwen calls this the inner experience of oneness with God. This change of heart starts first with the realization of the emptiness and meaninglessness of parts of our lives, if not all of our lives. The relations that we have and the places and people from which we seek connection and fulfillment. When God becomes the core or the kernel of our life, or rather when we acknowledge God is the center of our lives, the challenge of that life weighs on us. The challenge of life that weighs on us becomes part of the mystery of God's life with us. What were seemingly impossible challenges now become opportunities, affirmations and revelations of a new life. In our struggles, God may be revealing something of importance. So having a spiritual and a prayerful life will allow a deeper connection with God and a clearer understanding of meaning. Loneliness is indeed a significant issue for our neighbourhood and for our city. God continues to draw us into relationships that help us to connect with others face to face and heart to heart. When we gather as a community of faith, like we are doing this morning, we are connecting as a community with each other, but also with God, to give thanks for sustaining us in our lives and for the life of Jesus Christ. We are, as a church, to be a place of connection and welcome. Jesus taught his disciples about what it meant to go out into the world to connect with others and to show them that God is our life's foundation, the rock upon which our fragile lives can be built. Let us, as we go out into the world, allow God to fully be in our lives. Let us trust in the Lord. Let us be healed and feel blessed, even as we struggle on life's shifting sands. Amen.